When it comes to finishing school, Indigenous Australians lag behind their non-Indigenous counterparts. Despite all efforts to close the gap, still only around 51% of Indigenous students complete Year 12. A Mission Australia survey released today reinforces this. It found only 45% of Aboriginal children think they'll go to university. That's compared to 74% from non-Indigenous Australians. Today, the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation is launching a new campaign to help fund 7,000 Indigenous students into scholarships. Andrew Penfold is the CEO of the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation. He joins us in the breakfast studio now. Andrew, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks for having me.
What's your dream here, Andrew?
We'd like to see Aboriginal children, Torres Strait Islander children, growing up into healthy and productive adults and having their place in the world in all walks of life, from boardrooms and companies and universities and all across the community, so that seeing Aboriginal people in every walk of life is a normal part of Australia.
And not just getting them in the boardrooms, getting them in to be Prime Minister. This is your ad campaign, full-page ads of portraits, a portrait of an Aboriginal man, an Aboriginal woman, as Prime Minister, saying, "This could never happen, we think it can." Tell us about this campaign. What's the message?
We are asking people to have a look at the results that we've achieved over the last few years since we've been doing this work. We've started about 4 years ago and having already raised over $40 million to educate 2,000 students at some of the best schools in the country. We're now unable to meet all of the demand for more of these places across great schools and universities across the country. And so we're bringing attention to the fantastic results we've been achieving so far, where 90% of the students on our scholarships are staying at school and finishing Year 12, which is nearly double a national average for Indigenous students. We surveyed the community through News Poll and found that 2/3 of people think that we'll never see an Aboriginal Prime Minister in this country, which we were quite disturbed about. We want to challenge that perception and show that it can be done and that education is the way to achieve it.
And education is the key to opportunity. Everybody knows that, and I think nobody would challenge that. So your scholarships, you've supported 400 through the program so far. You've got funding for 2,000.
That's right.
So you've got how many kids are applying for this?
Oh, we can't keep up with demand. We're getting inundated with applications and inquiries every single day from schools, from children, from parents and grandmothers and community representatives who are desperately trying to get more opportunities for their children to go to these great schools. So we're not trying to encourage this demand. We're responding to the demand and we're trying to open the doors for kids to get access to the best schools in the country.
And the kids they have to be Indigenous? They have to be from remote areas?
No, we have a fairly even mix of kids from remote areas, regional areas and metropolitan areas as well. So we're opening these opportunities for Indigenous children from all walks of life who are enthusiastic about taking these opportunities and making the most of the opportunities that are presented to them.
And let's talk about the opportunity. You talk about these great schools. What's the definition of the school that you will partner with? Does it have to be a boarding school, for instance?
Yes, so we partner with boarding schools and we're looking for schools that have got a really good track record with enrolling Indigenous kids and building relationships with Indigenous families and communities. We're really interested in seeing schools that embrace Indigenous culture in their school, which are interested in building up a good critical mass of Indigenous children within the school so that the Indigenous kids there feel really like they belong and really part of the school, and it's a really welcoming and culturally inclusive environment. These are schools that have already put their own skin in the game. They've started their own programs. They've built relationships with communities. We come along and say, how can we help you grow and sustain that? So we've got schools, for example, who started a few years ago with maybe 5 or 6 Indigenous boys and have now got 50 or 60 Indigenous boys in them because we're able to really scale up their program.
Is that a key to the success for the individual to be going into a school where they're not the only black kid?
It is. It's a key to success that they're in a school which is really committed and has really got skin in the game when it comes to this work. Schools that really feel like this is inherently part of their mission as schools and educators to help address this great national challenge that we're facing.
It's a big step for a lot of kids, Indigenous or non-Indigenous, to leave home and go to a boarding school. But I think, you know, we all know that it's a very big step for an Indigenous kid, particularly from remote Australia, to go so far away into the city, so far away from family. How is there extra efforts made to support these students in that environment? How do you do that?
Very much so. So obviously we are working, as I mentioned, with schools who are building relationships with families and communities and have lots of outreach programs with them. I mean, the boy who's on the front page of The Australian today, you referenced earlier, he's from Darwin and he's down here at school in Sydney. And, you know, the school fly up to Darwin, they meet his family, they visit his home, they talk to him up there, they bring him down to Sydney for a trial boarding experience for a few days or a week to see how he likes the culture and the environment of the school to make sure he's ready for it and to make sure that he'll succeed there. So it's very much about schools all doing things individually. We don't sort of have a prescriptive model. We very much work with schools to say, you're the experts in this area. We'd like to work with you to help you expand and grow your program, and how you build that outreach is a matter for you as a school. So up in Queensland, for example, some of the schools we work with will fly up to Cape York during the school holidays and visit families and communities and build those relationships. Here in New South Wales, we have schools who drive around to Walgett and Dubbo and Moree through the school holidays, visiting families and building relationships. And all of the schools have got relationships and people in these communities who they can talk to and field inquiries from as well. So it's all very much about building that rapport between the school and the community, and in fact not having us as the middleman in that process, but having us stand behind the school to help resource it.
It's 6 minutes to seven on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Andrew Penfold, CEO of the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation. Is this the only model, Andrew? Is there a role for working with kids in their community? I mean, there are schools, public and private, closer to home too. Can you see a way where you might ever be investing in keeping kids at a school closer to home and working with that school to shore it up?
Yeah, so we're really pleased to see that this so far, as federal education statistics are showing, that this is the most successful program in the country for Year 12 completion rates, which is the benchmark we set ourselves. We don't for a moment suggest, whilst it's fantastic that we have got the record of being the most proven model in the country, we don't for a moment suggest that this is the only solution or that this is the answer. We don't for a moment suggest that all Indigenous children should be going to boarding schools. What we're doing here is opening the doors for children who want those opportunities and for mothers and grandmothers who want them. Simultaneously, we really do believe strongly that a lot more needs to be done to invest in local schools and local communities to lift educational standards. We're hearing all the time about the low standards in a lot of schools across the country. We strongly advocate further investment and support and improvement in those schools. Our particular focus is on ensuring that whilst other schools are being improved and more investments being made in lifting results in other schools, we're simultaneously able to open the doors to some of the nation's best schools.
And it's a model that, in a sense, worked for you, didn't it? I mean, you're not Indigenous, but you were given a chance and funded to go to a private boarding school, and that changed your life, I understand.
It really was a big factor in my life. My father died when I was very young. I grew up just around the corner here in Glebe, and mum was a single mum at university and had to go out and make a living for herself. And, you know, she worked long hours and weekends and nights. And as a teenager, I started getting quite disengaged from school. By the time I was in year nine, I was in the very bottom of the class. And through some intervention and support, I was able to go to a fantastic, great boarding school. And through that experience, I went from the bottom of the class in year nine, and I finished in year 12, first in my class in maths, history and economics, did a law degree and got honours in the law degree, had a great career working for some of the biggest law firms in the world in Sydney, London, Hong Kong, and in banking and so on. And I put that all down to the opportunity to go into a great school when I was young.
And just finally, I know you're calling for money. You're trying to raise money from the private sector and also more from the government sector. You've got a lot more to raise to hit your target. But how important is it for the private sector engagement to not just be about money, but to be about ongoing opportunity once a kid finishes school?
Very much so. We have great support from both the government and the private sector. And as you say, yes, the investment from the private sector is really important, but we also have staff members from all of our corporate partners who work as volunteers and mentors and provide career opportunities and so on. So it's not just about the investment.
And jobs post-school?
And jobs post-school, exactly. So it's about how do we leverage the skills and capabilities of our partners to create more opportunities for the students we're supporting and to ensure that they can have a successful transition once they leave school.
And is government doing enough?
We'd like to see the government invest further in this program. I think we've got the runs on the board. We've already shown that we can attract investment from the private sector. We'd love to see the government put more funding into this model because we can see it works and we can see that it's good value for money.
You just briefly have had a bit of a run-in recently with a staff member from Tony Abbott's office, but have you had any conversations with the opposition leader, any reassurance?
Oh, look, I think our results speak for themselves, and both sides of politics are really enthusiastic about our work. We've had lots of meetings on both sides. You know, you saw the Leader of the Opposition a couple of weeks ago come out and say that they really support our work. They see the great results it's achieving, and we've seen the same from the government and the ministers on this side as well.
Andrew Penfold, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Andrew Penfold, he's the CEO of the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation, and you'll see the ads if you open up the Australian newspaper today.